98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by 72 Sold. Get the price for your home at 72sold.com.
Oh, well done, well done, well done.
Yes, indeed. Flash the three. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the Morning broadcasting, so you don't have to punch it.
Wait, I was in the wrong file. Sorry. There you go.
Bang that cowbell and flash the three, my brothers. The party is not going to be the same without you. Slide on them Yardash jeans, boy, and take out that neon comb and brush back that fine feathered hair. Hey, Craig Wolfley, you're the man and you know it, baby, and everybody's watching you. Everybody's
working. He has to be the last guest ever on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Absolutely. It feels so good.
And you got to tell him. When we get canned, which could be tomorrow, who knows?
Of course.
When we get canned, and if we get the honor of a final show, which they might not give us, they might just say, go away.
They're not going to trust you, Douglas.
That's probably true. They don't trust me now. What are you talking about?
The boss is in the room right now. Maybe he should just come on the mic and say what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, when it happens, we got to have Craig Wolfley on and play Loverboy and let him know he drove Fridays for 14 years, 13 and a half years. Let him know.
And 13 and a half? What are you doing? Listen, football season has started, man.
So therefore it's 14
now? 14.
Okay. I'll give you that. This is our 14th football season. I'll give you that. But who knows? Just like ESPN Radio, Farmer might be itching to get rid of us and make his mark on the world. It's time for your Rush Hour Reboot, where Aaron Maloney takes over and gives you everything you need to dominate your Zoom meeting in a quick, lightning-fast format. Maloney, go.
So Robbie Ray struggled out of the gate, and the D-backs couldn't recover, losing to the Dodgers 6-3. Here's Ray after the game.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is focusing on, you know, putting up zeros and giving your team a chance to win. Honestly, I felt like later in the game, I felt like everything was starting, my timing, everything was starting to come around a little bit better. But the damage had already been done in the first two innings. So,
how do you feel about Robbie Ray right now?
Oh, man, honestly, right now, I think Robbie Ray may have lost some confidence. At least his body language looks that way. And I've been there, Basin. I know exactly what he's going through, right? His talent. He's loaded with talent, but I don't think he's very convicted on many of his pitches right now. At least that's what his body language says to me when I look at him. And I've been there where your confidence is waning. And it's one of the worst things that could possibly happen to you when you're competing at the highest level our species can generate. I can tell you this, there's only one thing that's going to get Robbie Ray out of this funk, and that's Robbie Ray.
I will never forget when Patrick Corbin told you and I, well, you know what? I think you had the day off, actually said to us in the bowels of Chase Field that it wasn't getting blown out against the Cubs at Wrigley Field that woke him up. It was his catcher coming up to him moments before they left the clubhouse and said, "Are you about ready to start going?" And got in his face to light him up and say, "No more of this. You're too good to pitch like this." And he's been a darn good pitcher the rest of the way. Robbie Ray doesn't deserve to not be a starter anymore in the major leagues. He's still one of the best 150 human beings at his craft in the world. But Robbie, somebody's got to get him to man up and no more, "Well, my timing's off. My mechanics are a little off. I've got to do the—" No, no, no. Take the ball, challenge another man, declare you're better than he is and get him out. No more nibbling. Say, "This is who I am. You deal with me now." And I think it takes somebody else to get in his face to get him to do it.
So according to reports, multiple members of the St. Louis Cardinals have tested positive for the coronavirus, and MLB has postponed tonight's game against the Brewers. Uh-oh.
Yes, indeed. Uh-oh.
I mean, at what point does this all stop?
That's a great question. It really is. You know what? Honestly, to me, I thought they already would have hit the pause button. I thought Rob Manfred and his answer when asked what it would take And he said a significant amount of players that would test positive that would make a team non-competitive. A team is what he was talking about. A single team. And the Miami Marlins has not shut the league down. So now all of a sudden, if you get positive tests, which you know are going to happen with other teams, man, what is the likelihood that he just says enough?
You know, this morning I was on Arizona's morning news at on KTAR at 5:12 in the morning, and I was asked the question, how confident are you that the Major League Baseball will finish their season? And I said, I'm 100% confident because I felt like this is just the Marlins. Just a bunch of young guys going out in Atlanta, not taking it seriously, and it would be such a wake-up call for the other 29 teams and the entire NFL. You can't slip up or it's over. The whole season ends. And I thought that would be enough and everybody would learn. And as soon as I saw this news that you talked about, Maloney, I feel like I'm already wrong. I think I only lasted an hour and a half of being right on that. Because if the Cardinals do it, a hardcore baseball team with great leaders on the team like Goldie and Molina and blah, 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 and you guys can't keep it out, I'm scared. I'm for the first time, I'm scared that Major League Baseball will not have a full season.
The Phoenix Suns begin their 8-game sprint to the end of the regular season in the race for number 8. They'll be taking on the Wizards at 1 o'clock today. You can hear it on ESPN 620. So DeAndre Ayton joined Bickley and Murata yesterday and discussed how the Suns are approaching these games.
Just really going out, representing the front of his name in front of our jerseys and in the back of it. That's what it is. When it comes down to it, we have nothing to lose. And we have an opportunity that we're trying not to pass. It's a small window in this bubble, and we're not just here to play games. Yeah. We're here to really make some noise.
What do you want to see from the Suns in these 8 games?
I want to see
And
them
will
come
we
out.
See Oubre once?
Yes, I want to see him come
that's
out.
That's what I want to see in these 8 games is Oubre.
I want to see professionalism. I want to see them play with intensity, with intent. I want to see them come out and share the ball, play great defense, and give great effort. I want to see them play their best basketball of the season, individually and collectively. That's what I want to see.
I want to see two things. I'm only asking for two things. And anybody has every right to tell me I'm asking way too much, because I have a tendency to ask too much of people that get paid 7 figures to play games. And that is this. I want to see Kelly Oubre walk onto a basketball court and actually play the game that he's paid to play in one of these 8 games. And I'd like to see DeAndre Ayton get the ball in the block and make a little move and dunk the basketball on somebody's head. That's what I'd like to see. Am I asking too much? So far with Ayton, the answer's yes. So far with Oubre, the answer's yes. Well, I don't think I'm asking too much.
One of these days, DeAndre Ayton's going to realize the goodness is tapping in.
Yes.
That's the goodness.
Yes.
He's going to realize this is fun. I get to act this way in between these lines. And then outside of the lines, I love people. And I respect them. And I treat them better than myself. And I do nothing but sit around and play video games. I mean, honestly, it's a great life.
And he's supposedly a great NBA 2K-er. He dunks like crazy in NBA 2K.
Yeah, but once you walk inside those lines, you bam, you shimmy shake on the rim, baby. And it feels so good. Mm. What?
Mm. One, just come on, DA. Come on. You know, if I'm Monty Williams, before every game, I show him film of Marc Gasol blocking his shot. Every game. Before every game.
Oh.
Coming up next, the voice of the Cardinals, Dave Pasch. You want to talk Pac-12 basketball? You want to talk college football? You want to talk Cardinals? You want to talk Suns? You want to talk ESPN's NBA coverage in the bubble? There's only one guy that can do it all, and he's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
El Bajaro.
ESPN for college hoop, for college football, for NBA basketball, and the voice of the Arizona Cardinals is joining Doug and Wolf. Dave Pasch, you know the first question because this matters more than anything. Health of the family, how's everybody doing?
We're good. The ones that are here in the house, we're all a little stir crazy, but I know that goes for everybody. So, but you know, we're good, Doug. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely,
David.
How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. Honestly.
We still have a job in a pandemic, so we're doing great.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
David, what's your level of optimism right now on all professional sports in regard to us seeing a full season?
Boy, it's such a tough, it's such a difficult question to answer, Wolf, because we're seeing what's going on with baseball, not having a bubble, and you juxtapose that with what the NBA is doing, and I think what all of the NFL teams are trying to do by basically creating their own bubble for a month, month and a half. Will that be enough for the NFL once you start to cross state lines, get on airplanes and play games? College football is challenging because you've got certain, you know, you get schools that can't afford the testing the way that Alabama and Ohio State and schools and power conferences can. I think what the major conferences are doing right now is really the only way to do it, and that's just to go conference only. It's unfortunate that a Georgia Tech, a Florida State won't happen. A Clemson, South Carolina won't happen. Those rivalries that are intrastate but are interconference. But I think it's the right thing to do for 2020. You can control things a little bit more by having, you know, playing just teams in your own conference. I don't know if it's going to work, but you got to give it a shot.
Dave, what about your level of actually being home and watching sports again as a guy that is one that usually brings sports to everybody? Is it eye-opening? Is it a re-enjoyment? Is it a re-embrace? Is there anything to put into words after what we just went through?
I haven't watched a ton of baseball just because, you know, I've been doing some other things at night with the family, but I did watch the NBA last night, and it was great to have it back. I'm looking forward to going down there next week and being part of the restart. I thought it looked and felt big watching it on TNT, just how the league has come up with the plan to make how the court looks and the camera shots and even the virtual fans. I think the NBA has done as good a job as you possibly could to still make it look and feel big. I was expecting it to look a lot like Summer League, and to me it looked a lot bigger than that. So yeah. I think for the fan consuming the product, I think even these seeding games are going to feel big. And That to me is, I think, what I miss about sports more than anything. It's just, you know, I think television, and maybe I'm biased because I'm part of it, you know, the thing that we can all do is try to make it feel as big as possible to the fan. And I think that's a challenge as a broadcaster, is to try to make even a baseball game in the middle of summer and a normal 162-game season that's just game number 92, to make it feel big for the viewer and the listener, because that's the escape, right? Is when something feels big and you get consumed by it. And I think more than ever, it's obvious that, and I don't know if you guys saw Charles Barkley's comments last night, but you know, more than ever now, you know, people, they need something to carry them away to another place. Amen. And sports can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know who you're doing, David? What games you're going to be doing? Do you know that yet?
Yeah. So I'll go down on Wednesday of next week, and then I'll have games. There's a Saturday night Milwaukee-Dallas game on ESPN, Sunday ABC game, Pelicans-Spurs, and then Monday night Toronto-Milwaukee. And then that's all I know for now. Don't know anything beyond that at this point.
Dave, what do you have to go through? And I think everybody knows your voice, but if you just tuned in, this is Dave Pasch of Cardinals broadcast team and the Cardinals radio network and ESPN. For you to get into the bubble and stay in the bubble, what do you have to go through?
Well, our bubble's different. Our tier is different. You could tell, I don't know if you guys watched Ian and Stan or Kevin and Reggie last night, but you know they're about 12 rows up from the players, so they're not in the same tier. as the players. The hotel we're staying at is going to be, located in a different area. So, like, our meetings with coaches and players will be done via Zoom. Mm. Our bubble, we're still in a bubble, but it's different. So I don't know what to expect. I've never been in a situation like this, obviously. But it's not exactly the same thing that you're seeing, from players and coaches.
David, obviously, of course, for ESPN, you do a lot of college games, basketball, football. You do a lot of stuff at the collegiate level right now. I think college football's in trouble in terms of the season. What say you?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier, Wolf. I think they're trying, the power conferences are trying the best they can to manage. You're going to have positive tests. You're going to. So, and who knows what happens when students come back. So,
I think the likelihood, David, is they shut that down, though. See, I think of all the sports.
What, that they start but don't finish?
All the sports we want to see come back. I think the likelihood of college shutting down is a whole heck of a lot higher.
Hmm. I would say it's the riskiest because you've got people coming in from. We've already seen that not everybody's going to be responsible, right? And, so what happened, can you somehow create a bubble for just the football players and somehow keep them separate from the rest of the student body? What happens when you travel? I think that's why they went to conference only. Again, you can have some uniform rules when you're just, playing within your own conference. So, I think they're doing the best they can right now to make it happen. I am hopeful that it happens, but yeah, I would say at this point it's the riskiest of all the sports that are trying to come back.
As the Cardinals play-by-play guy, are you excited and thrilled if, and I don't know if they will, but if they put plexiglass between you and Wolf? Do you feel safer that way that he's not going to be beating on you on big plays?
It's just usually the saliva that flies, across the booth. Usually there is a stat guy or a spotter that gets the worst of it because he's in between us. I don't know, but yeah, I hadn't thought about that until I actually saw it with Ian Eagle and Stan Van Gundy last night for the first time, because obviously we're going to have to deal with that with all the sports we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was weird. It was weird seeing it. Can we put up, so is there something we can put up, make it tinted so I don't have to see Wolf either? I mean, I'm still going to have to see him. Is there something we can do to cover that?
Hey, David,
maybe Wolf can put his one-liners, he can write them down on cards and put them on the plexiglass so he can just pull them down.
Hey, you know what, David?
Take one off when he needs one.
I have a hard time looking past your nose every broadcast, all right?
I tell you, that has been one thing while, I haven't been recognized at all wearing the mask because the nose is covered, so most people don't realize
true.
It's me.
One of my favorite pictures of any broadcaster was sent to me by a man by the name of Tom Luganbill, of Dave Pasch with a perfect, perfect look of the Little Caesars pizza guy. I mean, it is nails with you looking like you're about ready to eat a piece of pizza, and you're in front of a Little Caesars logo. And it is all about the nose, Dave.
I have a picture of Bozo the Clown here at home, and that's a good representation of Tom Luganbill. And
it
encapsulates Tom as a person.
Oh. Everybody just taking a little shot right now. Quickly, though, David, your view on the Arizona Cardinals in 2020, bud?
Man, Wolf, I'm jacked. I'm really just DeAndre Hopkins changed it all for me. And they had a lot of pieces before, but adding DeAndre Hopkins, I just think this offense has a chance to be special. I look at what Lamar Jackson has to work with, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. Those guys don't have the talent around them, I don't believe, that the Cardinals do. I think the Cardinals have more offensive weapons, even than the Chiefs.
Mm.
I really do. And I think Cliff is going to find a way to make the most of those weapons. I still think Christian Kirk has a chance to be a great player in this league. I think he, if he stays healthy, the presence of DeAndre Hopkins is going to make him a lot better. I feel like people are sleeping on him, not talking about, you know, what he brings to the table. And when I say that about the Chiefs, I'm not taking anything away from Tyreek Hill. I just think, you know, if you took Patrick Mahomes off the Chiefs, would Tyreek Hill be a number one receiver? You know, look at, if you took Lamar Jackson off Baltimore, do they have a number one? DeAndre Hopkins has been a number one, and he's had bad quarterbacks around him, with the exception of the last few years and Deshaun Watson. And now you're adding him to Kyler Murray, who is already a top 100 NFL player and is only going to get better. And then defensively, Isaiah Simmons, he is the key to me. You've got a Pro Bowler in Buda Baker on the back end. You've got one of the best defensive players in the league on the edge in Chandler Jones. You still have an elite Patrick Peterson playing a full season, hopefully. I think you've got a lot of other pieces on that defense. And then you add Isaiah Simmons. I know there'll be a learning curve because he's a rookie, but you know, his freakish skill level, Wolf and Doug, I just feel like, you know, he can be an X factor in what could be a much improved defense in 2020.
Thanks for always taking a minute. We just love all the subjects we can cover with you, and I think listeners feel the same way about you. Best of the family, Dave. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Hopefully we'll be seeing you and talking to you soon.
Absolutely. There's Dave Pasch, play-by-play voice of your Arizona Cardinals, and just an all-everything dude with ESPN and in life, joining the Doug and Wolf Show. And I'm not saying he's crazy, but boy, did that hit home to hear anybody close to the NFL say, I think they've got more offensive talent than the Chiefs. And maybe he's right. Coming up next, after dropping another game last night, how long do the D-backs have to turn this thing around? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Oh, Paul must be on. How about that? At 8:30, we never play it unless Paul's here.
You know what? At high noon today, I'm having a wisdom tooth pulled.
Oh.
And it won't be as bad as Loverboy.
Paul, you're 50 years old. Why are you now getting wisdom teeth pulled? Don't you do that a long time ago?
I've been kicking that can down the road for many a year. And finally, there's so much pain. It's worse than Loverboy that I got to go in today and have that thing yanked.
Wow, Paul.
Hey, Doc, I don't really even need any painkiller because I've already been through the worst of it with Loverboy on the Doug and Wolf Show this morning.
Hey, Doc, I got an extra 50 if you hit the spot, if you know what I mean. I'm telling you right now. Make sure you get it, Doc. Make sure.
The Paul is not allowed in the Octet Community Studios, to be honest. Wolf, Bear, and Maloney are there, but neither am I. I'm at Studio Wife.
Paul's a carrier.
I will be Paulie Pale Ale tonight. I need to seriously knock back the pain. I'm just going to tell you that
now. Paul, you got a lot of other problems as well.
Just to update you on coronavirus, Cardinals, two St. Louis Cardinals, not Arizona, St. Louis Cardinals tested positive. They have postponed both today and tomorrow's game with the Brewers. They want to make one of them up Sunday in a doubleheader. And recently baseball announced they will do seven-inning doubleheaders this year to make things up. I hate that. But there is positive news on being negative. The Phillies have now all come back clean again. A second round of testing for the Phillies, no new positive tests. So therefore, they should be able to get going again pretty soon from a baseball standpoint. And this is something to really think about from a Diamondback standpoint when you look at Mike Hazen and you look at Torey Lovello. Now that it's gone beyond, hey, the Marlins have screwed this up. Now that we've got the Cardinals and Brewers missing games, we can't even say the Diamondbacks will have a 60-game season. They might do everything right with the protocols, and the Mariners screw it up, okay? The Angels screw it up. And suddenly the Diamondbacks lose games that they can't make up. And that's going to be even harder. We're at the point now where the Diamondbacks, being tied for the worst team in Major League Baseball, have fallen off the horse so bad already. They've got to be seven games above 500 the rest of the way just to tie a team like the Padres if they only go 500 the rest of the way.
Wow.
So if the numbers are that difficult now after a week, they get even harder if you start losing games. They need all 53 remaining games to get back.
When Doug is busting out his math at the end of week one, you know it's bad.
Yes.
That's just a sobering right to the
jaw.
Speaking of pain in my tooth right now, my goodness. Think about that. Think about how just the lack of offense in baseball as well. I saw this, that they've opened after week one, the league-wide batting average is .229. Mm-hmm. Last year it was .252. So if you want numbers, the all-time low for batting average was
68?
The year the pitcher, 1968, the all-time league low, .237.
Wow.
And right now the league-wide batting average is .229. The D-backs went into last night's game as a team hitting just .202, and then they managed just 5 hits against the Dodgers.
Paulie, I'm shocked. You're not typically as prepared. That is big-time stuff right there, Paul.
Unlike you on the Big Red Rage last night.
What were you doing, Paulie? Were you up all night?
We're coming. Hey, did you see last night? Did you see where at least the 98.7 FM Arizona sports banner in left field got a lot of airtime, a lot of TV time, because there were Dodgers baseballs bouncing off it all night in left field?
Oh, my goodness, that's a good point.
It's frustrating, and I don't think this is going to change if they don't. Put it this way. You win the next 3 games. You and the Dodgers are both even at 5-5, and you're a game out of the playoffs.
Yeah, let's
go. It's one of those things. The switch can get flipped, but anybody out there, how many of you have confidence they're going to beat the Dodgers in 3 straight games?
Yeah,
it's almost 3 straight must-win games because the Dodgers aren't even the first-place team in the division. Percentage point-wise, the Rockies are the ones that have exploded, and the Diamondbacks haven't even played the Rockies yet.
Paulie, did you see the shot over the bow Torey Lovello sent to his team last night? Did you see it when he pinch hit Ildemar Vargas for David Peralta in the 6th?
I did see that.
What did you think when you saw that, man?
You know what? Yeah, that's 2020. That's Torey living up to his word, saying that he would manage accordingly, that it's a sprint, not a marathon. And, yeah, that was the manager saying, guess what, guys? There's urgency right now. How about Gracie?
He even pinch hit for his designated hitter. How many American League teams ever pinch hit for their designated hitter?
Yeah, not only that, Paulie, once again, before you get off that, though, did you hear David Peralta's response? Oh, man, I got to tell you, I am like, this guy, practice your humble, David. Practice your humble. He walks around with a T-shirt like that. Boy, that's exactly what he did. Practiced his humble.
He was great leadership. He was asked, what does this team need? What do you need to do specifically? What's going on with the lack of offense?
I have to do a better job. For me, I have to do a better job. I have to do my job. I have to be better in the home plate. That's it. I'm not doing well right now. And I know it's part of the game, but I have to figure it out. We have no time.
We have no time. He took full accountability, Paul.
Okay, you guys tell me. I've only heard it. I didn't see it. But I imagine the look on his face was half bewilderment and half reality check. Like, I just got faced by my manager, but I deserved it. Mm-hmm. He looks like a guy who's really sort of contemplating the state of his game right now. Like, it really was a shock to his system. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I would, Paulie. But he's not alone again. There are 6 guys they have in their lineup that are starters. 6 guys that are hitting below the Mendoza line. Carson Kelly, David Peralta, Eduardo Escobar, Cole Calhoun, Nick Ahmed, and Jake Lamb.
I got something to read here, but I want you guys to hear this. Something happened this morning that's really pretty funny, and I think I believe it. Number one, did you know that 94% of teachers spend their own money on school supplies? Here in Arizona, teachers are paid the least, yet have the most students in their classes of anywhere in the country.
I did know that.
Four Peaks for Teachers. That's fantastic. Wow. Four Peaks for Teachers is celebrating its 10th year, and they will support 10,000 teachers with classroom essentials. Help Four Peaks proudly support our teachers. Donate now at fourpeaksforteachers.org. So I think you guys know a legend is stepping down, and ESPN is again proving they're good at television, not in radio. But Mike Golic's last broadcast was today. 20 years as a morning guy is one of the most incredible runs in radio history, and in my opinion, the greatest run in sports talk history. And some people would argue Mike Francesa, but I think it's Mike Golic. And he had our own Herm Edwards on the show. And I got to ask, do you think he's joking? I don't think either man is joking.
By the way, when I'm all done with this, and I'm going to keep doing it for a while, you're still coaching. I want to be on your coaching staff at some point.
Come on. Come on. That's all we got is a bunch of NFL guys. You'd be perfect.
That's great.
Okay. Golic still has a house here.
Oh,
just
yeah.
to let you know.
Yeah.
So before he went to ESPN Radio, the nascent operation at the time, him and Greeny, he was on the air in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a between periods radio stunt by the Coyotes where we all dressed up in sumo suits, and I got absolutely crushed by Big Mike Golic in a pseudo hockey game, and I got sent sprawling across the ice into the boards, and the Coyotes fans ate it up as Paulie Pencilneck took one for the team on that
Actually,
one.
That was the great well thing done. About Golic. He was smart, too. He knew exactly who to go get.
You know, I think he said that, and he meant it, but like 60% serious, 70% serious, but he's kind of focused on doing a lot of college basketball, college football play-by-play and stuff. And I think the enthusiasm of Herm, I guarantee you, talked about it afterwards. That might happen sooner than you think, as excited as Herm was to say that to Golic.
I hate to break it now. I really wasn't planning on breaking this news this morning, but you guys, this is going to be the first you're going to hear. It might be a little tough, but effective 1 month from today, it's going to be Paulie and Golic in the morning.
Oh, just that's to let great. You know. Good. You know what?
Just to let you know.
I could see that. By the way, here's how it ended. You can see this did not go as scripted when his wife got on, but This is the emotion of 20 years, and I think ESPN has just made a major mistake because this man relates to his audience very well.
Nobody going to jump in here and help, huh?
We moved here from Arizona because it was our baby.
Yeah.
We never aspired to do anything more than the radio show. It was the pinnacle for us. It's meant everything to us. It's been a part of our family, and that's why this means so much to us.
This is why we did it, and this is why I did it for right here and what Mike just said. All the guests and all the people we mentioned, everybody was so important, but there's nobody as important than who is sitting right here on the set with me right now. Thank you all.
And it was so emotional to hear him talk about his wife and his family. But I got to tell you, do you want to know be a great radio guy? He said that, let his emotions on air, and he was still all radio. Because listen very closely. When his wife starts talking, listen to what he said again.
Been here and help, huh?
The interesting thing about this show has been we moved here from Arizona.
He just mumbled, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah. That's well,
his wife is coming on to talk about their life together, and he slips in, you got 30 seconds.
Could you flash the universal sign for 30?
I think he did.
Hey, and the fact that he found out via the media and his bosses at ESPN Radio not tell him, that's not good. Doug, I'm with you. You shuffle the deck at ESPN Radio, and Golic is the guy left standing without a seat. That's a mistake.
Yeah, I'm totally.
I could easily
you.
See him going into coaching, though. I could. I see
do too.
That for real.
I do too, and doing it right here in Arizona, the way he loves to live. I totally believe that. Coming up next, one of our favorites, Suns legend Tom Chambers, talking about the bubble on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Always cool when he says yes. You could see him. Halftime, post-game, pre-game on Fox Sports Arizona, or the next time you're allowed in the arena, you could just look up and you could see him there, which is kind of cool. Tom Chambers joins the Doug and Wolf Show, Suns legend. TC, how's your life?
You know, probably like yours during these crazy times. It's just it really is crazy. You just got to kind of put your head down and go on about it. And now we're excited because I actually get to talk about basketball again. It's been a long sabbatical we've been on.
Well, yes. Before we get on that, Tommy, are you any good at social distancing?
You know, I haven't figured out how to do it with my animals. And I, you know, I really do. I take a wide berth around people now. I do. I do. I put my little mask on. You couldn't, not a mask, but a scarf, like, you know, in the Wild Wild West. You know, I pull that up when I need to. But am I good at it? It's really hard not to shake a hand.
See, I tell you, that's
where I fail.
Up. It's messing me up.
Yeah.
Give me the handshake and let me deadpan you right in the eye.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If somebody wants to give you the elbow and stuff, you're like, dude, come on, man.
I know. For me, I do look at the guy for a second to size him up. Are we going to shake hands or not? But if you stick out your hand, I have zero ability to pull mine back. None. My hand's going right there.
Isn't it funny? You do look at people, you're like, okay, you know, what are they going to do? Okay,
yeah, exactly.
And you are it.
Right.
It's like it's an awkward moment every time you see somebody, whether it's a close person to you or somebody who's not so close to you. It's like, okay, this is awkward right now. What are we going to do, you know?
This is good. I don't know if you heard us earlier, but we were asked a question by Maloney. What do you want to see from the Suns in the bubble in these eight games? Wolf went with everybody. Get better, play harder, play better than you have all year. I want to see Oubre play, and I want to see Ayton make a post-up move and dunk the basketball on somebody's head. What do you want to see?
I'll tell you what, I you know, when going into this thing, you know, and we always get back to Ayton for some reason. He said he's going to be a monster down there. I haven't seen him be a monster down there yet, but, you know, he really hasn't had to. They've been kind of warming up for this deal. But I like what I saw, especially in the first game. The third game was good. Just the unselfish play. They looked like they had been playing together for a long period of time. You know, Devin was doing what he needed to do. He hasn't taken over a game, which I think he probably will here, you know, when these ones really count. That's it. I want to see Kelly back, too. But, you know, Mikal Bridges, if Kelly doesn't get back soon, Mikal is going to own all of those minutes. I'm telling you right now, because he's playing really, really well.
Yeah, what is the difference with Mikal Bridges? Because, to me, he's the best guy in the bubble.
Well, he's playing with a lot of confidence. And you know, I tell you, Wolf, a lot of – you know how it is when you play in a game. The difference between being really good and not being – you know, really good or not getting playing time is just your confidence. Yeah. And right now he believes in himself. And because his confidence is high, he's extremely aggressive. And I haven't seen him be aggressive on the offensive end before. I mean, after a steal or after a great defensive play, and he can knock down a random three, but his shot looks terrific. And his aggressive attitude and confident attitude is really rubbing off on everybody. I mean, his smile, I've not seen this kid smile. I mean, if he's going down the road, he'd get bugs on his teeth. I mean, he's just smiling all the time and having a great time down there. And the switch came on, and he's ready to rock and roll. This guy's going to take it to another level.
Suns legend Tom Chambers joining Doug and Wolf this morning. I'm not in the arena enough for my opinion to matter, but I think he is the hardest working player on the team at improving. Is it Booker? Is it somebody else? Who to you is the hardest working player as an individual?
I don't think anybody works harder than Devin Booker. I mean, he really wants to take it to that level. The great thing about Devin Booker is he doesn't have to do it by himself. I mean, he wants to involve everybody. And you see it in games, you know, when they play the Jazz, and all they're doing is taking Devin out of it, and somebody else has to beat him. So this team has to surround Devin with guys who can shoot the basketball and make plays, because if somebody comes at Devin, he's going to hit the open person. So he's going to trust his teammates and rely on his teammates. Whereas before, he didn't have that much talent around him, where he just had to go through three or four guys. He doesn't have to do that anymore, and he's doing it the right way. But I don't know that anybody works harder than Devin Booker.
You know, Tommy,
that's cool to hear.
If Mikal Bridges is the best player in the bubble for the Suns, which I believe that he is, I'm just talking about the games, the scrimmages, of course, that he's had, and how it looks like he is just blossoming and developing as a player right here. I would say Kelly Oubre Jr. is the most confounding or confusing, only because I know that a meniscus tear, it doesn't take this long. And I know you can sit here and talk about, well, he never had a chance to rehab it. How do you evaluate what is going on with Kelly Oubre Jr.?
Well, you know, you always ask me questions like Leander does, because he knows I'm not quite as politically correct as everybody else. But I've had the same thought go through my brain a dozen times. I mean, I've never had knee injuries, and I understand you know, he didn't have people working him out. But I broke my leg and I was back in 5 weeks. You know, so. And I think the only trainer we had then was a guy.
You were getting all shot up, Tommy.
Shot up. Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't even take a pain pill. I mean, it was just.
Gamer.
It was ever. So, you know, you have those question marks. I'll tell you what. Unfortunately for this league, Wolf, the agents kind of run it. And they kind of make decisions on their players and what's best for them. And do you really have a chance now? Should you really come back and risk it? And so they're always looking at the things that we never looked at before. We always looked at, I got to help my teammates. I got to get out there. If I'm on one leg, I'm going to do it. Now, I saw Kelly sprint around the bench when DeAndre made a 3-point shot. And I was like, dude, he didn't even warm up, but he just friggin' ran around that bench. So I'm thinking he's got to be right there. But I believe that Kelly's gonna play down there. And you know, his energy is just great for the team. It really is.
Oh.
And it is like you say, this is like your favorite player on the team. And then all of a sudden he's gone. And it's like, okay, now what? You know, where are you? You know, come back, you know, that kind of stuff.
It's but his toughness, the guys
love
Tommy.
Him. The guys love him. I mean, he's just that kind of guy that brings the energy. And he's a guy that we want to watch all the time. So, yeah, they certainly miss him.
It's his toughness that makes him different and special. And if he's not willing to be tough, next.
Yeah, he definitely is not scared. I mean, he will mix it up with anybody out there and not care and go toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose. And you love that about him. And plus, he's a pretty boy. You know, so you look at him like, dude, I mean, that's
he does
pretty cool. You know, you're right to somebody's mug, you know. But, yeah, the Suns could use his energy boost for sure.
Tom, you know that parental phrase that we might have used as parents and we hated hearing as kids. When it didn't even matter about getting spanked. It was, I'm disappointed in you. Oh, when my dad said that, I mean, it was hard for me to hold it together. So I ask you. When you look at Kelly Oubre not playing, are you just disappointed generally with the situation, or are you disappointed in Kelly Oubre?
You know, I haven't really gotten to the point where I'm disappointed in Kelly. You know, these three games didn't really mean that much, but it would be nice. He's there. I mean, he's supporting his teammates. He's the loudest guy on the bench, so he's doing what he can. I don't know all of the extenuating circumstances. I haven't talked to the doctors, you know. We've heard little things from Monty and them, and you know, thinking that he's about there. Disappointed because you ask me, yes, I'm disappointed he's not out there. And you know, like Wolf said, I've thought about meniscus how many times, and I've known people who have done meniscus, you know, and been back in 2.5-3 weeks, and are fine. But this has been a long time. I don't think we've talked to each other for a long time. I mean, it just seems like that he'd be out there ready to rock and roll and help his teammates.
Okay, so. What do you think they can legitimately accomplish in these 8 games?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're at full strength, and I believe they have the talent to compete. I think Cameron Payne has been a great addition at that backup point guard. He's solid. He understands this may be his last opportunity. He looks really good out there. You know, Baines is back. I think they needed him to come in and help. But since they're at full strength, they can win these games. Now, even if they win all of their games, I don't know that they're going to be in a position to be there. But last night, New Orleans loses, and so they're, you know, closer to them. And you know what? They're within, what, 4 games of the 8th spot, then they have a, you know, they'll have a play in, and that's kind of cool. So that's what they're shooting for. But I you know what? We are so blessed. Okay, let me just say this one more time. Dev Monty Williams is a coach.
Yes.
I mean, what that guy does for these guys, I mean, he says it the right way. When he speaks, they listen. You know, the motivational stuff he does, he tries to educate them, he tries to teach them about stuff in the world, not just stuff, you know, in basketball. I mean, he is helping these guys become men before our very eyes. And we still have to remember, this is the youngest team in the NBA. I hate to say that. I hate it when people say that, but they are. But, man, they're growing before our very eyes, and I believe Monty's the perfect person for them. And this bubble, this little thing they're in, and it's a big thing, but being in Orlando, as that group of individuals, even if they don't do it or accomplish it this year, it's going to help them so much for next season as a unit, as a team, as a group of guys going out there and fighting and trying to win games.
You, KJ, Barkley, and Marley, could the four of you have stayed in a bubble?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you do what you got to do. I think if you got a monitor on you, you don't have much of a choice. Charles, I don't know what he would have flown a helicopter in or something.
Tommy, I'm waiting for the first brawl in the locker room because you're out and you're putting us all at risk. You're walking around. You don't have the mask on.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, that whole thing is just crazy. The thing is, I don't know why there's even a mask in the bubble, because everybody in the bubble has been tested and been cleared. And I hate seeing somebody get interviewed with a mask on, just because it's muffled. I don't know if I'm deaf or I used to read lips or what, but I have a hard time with that. You know, I'm just glad that Shaq doesn't have a mask on, because I couldn't understand him before. Now I'd really have a hard time with it. You know,
congratulations on just now giving Frank Caliendo his next bit of Shaq in a mask. That's definitely good.
Tommy, say hello to everybody at the ranch for me, okay, buddy?
Thanks, DC.
I will. Well, I'll tell you what, this matinee will be different today, though, won't it? You're on TV at 12:30, and it's like, wow, what are you going to, you know, go to lunch and watch the game? You know, it'll be fun.
Good to talk to you, my friend. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
You can get more of Tom Chambers today if you want it. He's on Fox Sports Arizona. You heard him. 12:30 is their pregame. We got Al and Tim in our pregame starting at 12:30. Suns in the bubble against the Wizards at 1 o'clock. You can hear it on ESPN 620 AM. Coming up next. This is kind of interesting. There are only three teams in the NFL that were able to do it, and the Cardinals are one of them. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.